The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, tells us, Ad emasai chayev lelilmo Torah, until when is a person obligated to learn Torah, ad yomoso, until the day that he dies. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, which is found in this week's Parsha, Upen yasuru milvavecha kol yemei chayecha. Pen yasuru, lest it is removed from your heart, kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life. Bechozman shelo osek harehu shehocheach, and all the while that he's not osek in learning, he will forget it. Ad kan lashon harambam. Asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky a fantastic question. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has the schus of being mekayim tariyag mitzvos, 613 mitzvos. On Sukkot, we take a lulav and esrog, we sit in a sukkah. On Pesach, we eat in matzah. We have the opportunity of fulfilling many mitzvos throughout the year. When are we no longer responsible for kiyum ha-mitzvos? When we die. That's our responsibility as Jews. We're born. We start doing mitzvos when we're 6, 7, 8 years old, because that's how we train ourselves to when we become a bar or a bas mitzvah. And then we reach the age of 12 and 13. And depending upon who we are, whether we're a Kohen, a Levi, Yisrael, or whether we're a man or a woman, we're obligated in our mitzvos until we die. And once we die, we are no longer responsible for kiyum ha-mitzvos. Do I need a pasuk to tell me that? It's a smart, it's a logical. As long as I am alive, I am obligated to fulfill Taryag mitzvos. So asks Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, why do I need a pasuk of Upen Yasuru Milvavecha Kol Yemei Chayecha, lest it's removed from your heart, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that I am responsible to learn Torah my entire life. And yet, the Rambam brings a pasuk to tell me what my obligation is to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Do I need a pasuk to tell me my responsibility to eat matzah until I die? Do I need a pasuk to tell me about shaking the lulav and esrog until I die? Of course not. Well, then why is Talmud Torah any different? That's our first question tonight. Our second question tonight is the pasuk tells us in this week's Parsha Perek Dalid, pasuk Lamed, Batzar lecha umitzaucha. When you are in distress, this is Moshe Rabbeinu giving a charge to Bnei Yisrael, when you are in distress, umitzaucha kol hadvarim ha'ele, and all of these things have befallen you, ba'acharis hayomim, at the end of days, v'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return to Hashem, v'shamata b'kolo, and you will listen to His voice, ki el rachum, Hashem Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Kel Rachum, lo yarpecha v'lo yashchisecha. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to destroy you. And then the pasuk tells us something very interesting. V'lo yishkach es bris avosecha, and he will not forget the bris, the covenant of avosecha, your forefathers, asher nishba lehem, that he swore to them. Essentially, what the psukim are telling us is that you, Klal Yisrael, when you have abandoned the ways of Hashem, you will do tshuva, you will repent. But seemingly from the psukim, repentance is not sufficient enough. In addition to repentance for Klal Yisrael to be forgiven for veering off the path of Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forget the Bris Avos, the covenant that was established between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The obvious question the Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman asks in his Sefer Ayeles HaShachar is, what does the Bris Avos, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had established with the Avos, what does that have to do with our tshuva? On the contrary, the Bris Avos would be in a situation where Klal Yisrael did not do tshuva, and therefore we have to rely upon our Bris Avos to perhaps for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn the other cheek. That in spite of us not doing tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pardon us in the merit of our forefathers. But yet from these psukim, the implication is, in addition to doing tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also not forget the Bris Avos. Why is that necessary? Don't we learn in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam tells us, Bizman Hazeh, in today's time, She'ein Beis Hamikdash Kayam, Ve'ein Lanu Mizbeach Kapara, and there is not a Mizbeach, an altar for atonement. Ein Sham Ela Tshuva. We have Tshuva. And HaTshuva Mechaperes Al Kol HaAveiros. And Tshuva atones for all of our sins. Afilu Rasha Kol Yomav, even if he's a Rasha all the days of his life, V'asa Tshuva Ba'achrona, he's vindicated. He's exonerated. He's now a tzaddik. He's able to live his life as someone that's Mezuman L'Chai Olam Haba. So why is it necessary, in addition to Tshuva, which the Psukim enumerate and speak about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also going to remember the Bris Avos, and that, together with Tshuva, seemingly is what will catapult us to a state of grace before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Bris Avos necessary in conjunction with Tshuva? That is our second question. That's Rav Aaron Leib Steinman's question. And our third question. We obviously know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseres Hadibros to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And the first of the Aseres Hadibros is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that I am Hashem, your God, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out from the land of Egypt, Mibeis Avodim, from a house of bondage. And the Kuzari asks a fantastic question. It's a very well-known question. Why is it that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, that took you out of Mitzrayim? Doesn't it make more sense that we believe in Hashem, the oneness, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, at the exclusion of all other gods? Shouldn't we say that the reason why we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He's the one who was Borei Olam, who created the heavens and the earth, He's the one who made Shemayim Va'aretz? Isn't that more of a profound statement that everything that we see, the entire world, the heaven and the earth, isn't that something that's so much more profound? It expresses God's greatness in a much more meaningful way that perhaps impacts not only Jews around the world, but the entire world at large, that Anochi, I am Hashem, your God, that created the heavens and the earth. And yet, attached to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Aseres Hadibros, is Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, asks the Kuzari, why? There are many answers to this question. Though I would like to share with you the approach of Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel, the Mir Rosh Hashiva. We live in a world where we commonly hear that I'm a Jew at heart, that I believe in God. And that person who is saying that he believes in God and not judging anyone, but he'll drive to shul on Shabbos, or he'll drive to shul on Yom Kippur, and it's a very noble thing. But we live in a world of asiyah. We live in a world of action. Someone once told me, or he asked me if his heart is in the right place. I told him, your heart's in the right place, but your body isn't. We live in the world of asiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a guf. And we are supposed to take this guf, this body, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To simply believe in Hashem and leave that belief in our hearts, in our minds, and not actualize that belief. So we are not Mikayim Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We don't fulfill the first of the Aseres Hadibros of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. For me, simply to say I believe in God because God created the heavens and the earth, what am I accomplishing? What connection do I have to God creating the heavens and the earth? That happened thousands of years ago. I have no connection, no shaychus to the creation of the world. It's something that's purely intellectual at best. Do we really understand God creating the heavens and the earth? Do we really have a connection? How does that resonate with us? All it is a thought. But when we connect God taking us out of Mitzrayim to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that we must believe in Hashem, what we're doing is we're connecting a pa'ula, an action, a maisa, to our belief. After all, the Torah tells us, Ve'omarta libanecha, you tell your children, Avodim Hayinu LeParo B'Mitzrayim, that we were enslaved to Paro in Mitzrayim, but he took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand. And then he commanded us in all of these mitzvos to fear Hashem our God. Yesias Mitzrayim was a Heichitimsi, was a prelude to Kabbalas HaTorah. Yesias Mitzrayim was not a means, was not an end, it was a means to the end. The end was Kabbalas HaTorah for Klal Yisrael to stand at Har Sinai. When we come and pronounce that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, and that is our belief. And we believe in that, and now how do we express that belief? It's that God took us out of Mitzrayim, and he eventually brought us to Har Sinai. Now what we do is we take our belief and we show Hashem that we believe in him. It's no longer just a thought, but now we are expressing in action how we believe in you. We actually believe in you. We're willing to put into practice our belief system. That God took us out of Mitzrayim essentially means that he took us out of Mitzrayim and he brought us to Har Sinai. He gave us the Torah, and now we are fulfilling your commandments. We are keeping your Torah. We're learning your Torah. We're doing your Torah. We're actualizing and putting into practice our belief. Essentially, the mitzvah of emunah. For emunah, for us to have a kiyum, for us to fulfill the first of the Aseres Hadibros of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there needs to be something connected to it in the future. I believe in God and therefore I am going to do a mitzvah. I believe in God and therefore I'm going to eat matzah. I believe in God and therefore I'm going to sit in the sukkah. There has to be something that will happen in the future that expresses my belief in Hashem. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in his Sefer Kovetz Ha'aros, Maseches Yevamos. He says that there's two types of tshuva. There's a tshuva that a Gentile fulfills, and then there is a tshuva that a Jew fulfills. The tshuva that a Gentile fulfills allows a Gentile from this point forward to be considered a righteous Gentile. But it doesn't negate, it doesn't erase what he had done in the past. From here on out, he deserves to live because he accepted tshuva. The Anshei Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, they accepted tshuva, they were determined to do tshuva, now they can live. But it doesn't erase that which had happened in the past. A Jew? When a Jew accepts tshuva upon himself, when he regrets that which he had done, when he determines to live a better life in the future, when he removes himself from the sin, when he confesses his sins, not only does it grant him from here on out a clean slate, but l'mafreya retroactive, it never happened. As the Rambam writes, Afilu Rasha Kol Yomov. He's a Rasha his entire days, but also tshuva ba'achrona, and he does tshuva at the very end. Ein maskirin lo shum davar meirisho. There's no mention at all of his evil. A ben Noach, a Gentile, only mikan lahaba, only what will be from here on in the future. But a Jew's tshuva, not only does it count from here and forward, it also erases retroactively all the averas that he had done. And that is how we can understand why it's necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to mention the Bris Avos in conjunction with Tshuva. When Moshe Rabbeinu mentions to Bnei Yisrael that in conjunction with their Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember the Bris Avos, the covenant of the patriarchs, essentially what he is telling Bnei Yisrael is that not only will your Tshuva impact the future, but because you are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there will not be any Avera connected to you, even retroactively. You've never done anything wrong. It's as if you're a tzaddik, you were a tzaddik, you are a tzaddik, you will be a tzaddik. The mitzvah of Emunah needs something in the future to concretize you fulfilling the mitzvah of Emunah. The mitzvah of tshuva for a Jew, not only does it work for the future, mikanu lahaba, but I want to suggest, based on this idea, it also works limafreya, retroactive. Emuna needs something in the future. Tshuva, because of us being the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, also impacts the past. And Talmud Torah combines the past and the future. Let me explain. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he asked a profound question. The Rambam tells us, "Ad emasai chayev lilmod Torah." Until when is a person obligated to learn Torah? Ad yomoso, until he dies, as it says in a pasuk found in this week's parsha, "Upen yasuru milvavecha kol yimei chayecha," lest you remove from your heart all the days of your life. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, why do we need the pasuk to tell me that all the days of my life I need to learn Torah? Is it any different than the mitzvah of shofar, a mitzvah of lulav and esrog, that obviously I'm obligated to fulfill those mitzvahs all the days of my life until I die? Do I need a pasuk to tell me that? Of course not. So then why do I need a pasuk by Talmud Torah? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, we see from here by the fact that the Rambam says we need a pasuk by Talmud Torah, it seems the Talmud Torah has a shiur, has a measurement. One would think that Torah is incumbent upon a Jew until he learns Kol HaTorah Kula, until he learns the entirety of Torah. And once he learns all of Torah, he no longer is chayav to learn any longer. One might think, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is pater, he's exempt from learning. He already learned Kol HaTorah Kula, there's nothing more to learn. One might think that once I learn all of Torah, I'm exempt. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, because a person might have a hava amina, he might think that there is a shiur, there is a measurement, there's a set amount, there's a finite limit to Torah. I've learned everything, I'm exempt, therefore I need a pasuk. Essentially, what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is explaining to us is that Talmud Torah requires for you to truly fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you have to engage in the past and the future. Meaning, you learned Meseches Makos, learn it again. Chazer. The Gemara tells us there's a big difference between someone who learns something 100 times versus 101 times, which means that he has to go back to the past. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires you to go into the past, but it also necessitates going to the future as well. Because even if you had learnt that same Gemara once before, when you see it again, you're going to see new insights, new ideas. It's going to look different to you in the future. It's not the same Masechta, it's not the same Daf, it's not the same Musar Musaver, it's not the same Dvar Halacha. Emunah requires a pa'ula, an action in the future, for you to fulfill the mitzvah of Emunah. The mitzvah of tshuva, the way that a Jew understands the mitzvah of tshuva, it impacts the past. And Talmud Torah It requires the past and the future. For me to steig, for me to grow, for me to develop, I need to learn the same Masechta over again. That is my responsibility based upon the pasuk of Pen Yasuru Milavecha Kol Yemei Chayecha. And it also requires me to learn the same Masechta, but learn something different, to gain a deeper, more profound insight, to look into the future. There will be something new. We have to live our lives with the past, the present, and the future. As Jews, our past informs the present and future. Maisa avos siman labonim. The actions of our avos, the episodes, the stories, the relationships of the avos, their experiences in life, ultimately informs the present and the future, is a siman labanim, is a sign of what's going to be for their children. We can't simply live in the present. We know, based upon the past, what will unfold in the future. We don't live in a vacuum. If we want to truly live a life where we believe in Hashem, we need to do a pe'ula in the future. There has to be a hemshich. If we want to truly do a tshuva, it has to be a tshuva of the avos that will ultimately wipe away the past. But Talmud Torah, which holds the key to who we are as a people, Histakil be'oraisa ubra'alma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and created the world, and our Jewish destiny is in the Torah. That requires the past, the present, and the future. Have a good night.